You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Running it back one more time on the Gym Class for this week. Friday, March 10th. Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome into the program. We're brought to you by DuPaco Community Credit Union here on this Friday afternoon. 319-366-1600. Talk or text line wide open for you here today. Spencer Wagon in for Scott Unash here this week. Scott over in Des Moines covering high school state basketball. Two teams left. One game now left. We'll get you up to date on that later on in the show. The Emil's Hideaway scoreboard coming up just before bottom of the hour. Plenty of hoops talk today. Might get into maybe some football, maybe some college baseball toward the end of the show as well. Iowa with actually a fairly important series here as they take on Texas Tech. The baseball diamond, first game coming up later on today. Hawkeyes and Red Raiders from Lubbock. Lubbock, Texas, that probably does not have snow on the ground. I know it doesn't because I saw the picture on the Iowa baseball Twitter account last night of their batting practice, and it's dry there. I'm not sure if it's warmer, but I'm guessing it might be. I don't know. We'll talk about some college baseball, get your thoughts on anything going on in the sports world. That's welcome to you here at KGYM at 319-366-1600. And again, we're coming to you live on 1600 AM, 102.3 in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 in Iowa City, and streaming worldwide at KGYMradio.com, also on the free-to-download KGYM app. Mark Dukes joining me in studio as well. How you doing today? Happy Friday.
Yeah, you as well, Spencer. Good afternoon. Good afternoon to everyone out there. Isaac as well, alongside again today, making things happen behind the glass. And yeah, it's hoops.
It is.
We got Big Ten basketball going on right now.
Yep.
And into the evening, Iowa State in action tonight, men and women. We'll tell you about that.
Absolutely. Some really good action so far in the Big Ten tournament today, especially that Purdue-Rutgers game. I thought maybe Rutgers had a shot to pull an upset again there, and they certainly did. They played Purdue tough, but in the end, the number one seed is indeed moving on for folks who missed that game. Purdue winning 70-65, but then maybe a little bit of a surprise here. Ohio State, the lead has shrunk. They were up a little bit more at halftime here, but Ohio State with a two-point lead now on Michigan State about 4 minutes into the action in the second half. Michigan State on a 12-3 run over the last 6 minutes of game action as they trail, Michigan State does, Ohio State by two. Buckeyes looking to win their third game in 3 days would be quite the task if they can do it. As the number 13 seed, they got to win the whole thing to get into the NCAA tournament. But as of right now, the run is continuing for Ohio State. Still plenty of game time, though.
Ohio State playing well and has since the calendar turned to late February, early March, and you got to hand it to Ohio State. You got to wonder when the gas will run out on this team. Maybe it won't. I don't know, but we saw this from the Michigan State team in one of its most recent games, maybe the regular season final against Nebraska, when Nebraska kind of handled the Spartans in the first half, and then Michigan State exploded in the second half. We'll see what happens here, but Ohio State, very capable team right now. We'll see if it can hang on.
Ohio State playing without Bryce Sensabaugh today, so that's a big blow. But Bruce Thornton just made a three to make it 39-34. So a little bit of a tight affair here. Another three going up and going down. So we're talking about Ohio State. They're starting to surge that lead back out here. But Buckeyes leading Michigan State. We'll keep you up to date on that one. Two more games to come in the Big Ten tournament, Penn State and Northwestern. And then Indiana-Maryland, I think that's going to be probably the best game of the day for sure. Two teams that can play really good ball, that have played really good ball this year. Indiana's got some spectacular players in Trace Jackson Davis and Hood Schifino as well. But Maryland, they took care of business against Minnesota. I think they were expected to win that game considering the seed differential there, but A big opportunity for either team to really improve their seeding when it comes to the NCAA tournament with a victory tonight.
I don't disagree, but I'm very much looking forward to that first game tonight at Penn State and Northwestern.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a whale of a game, and we're going to see more of it on the weekend, I think. But Penn State, what we've seen in this tournament is the higher seeds prevailing quite a bit. Not universally, but it's been interesting tournaments from that standpoint. You mentioned Ohio State at number 13, Penn State at number 10, moving forward in the brackets. So, again, we'll see what happens, whether the Buckeyes can outlast Michigan State and move into the semis. That'd be something.
Yeah, it certainly would be. And it's been done before. Obviously, we saw Iowa go from the 5 seed, one less game though, and won the whole tournament. Certainly, a little bit harder to do it if you're playing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So 5 games in 5 days. But we'll see how this game currently here in front of us plays out. As Ohio State does lead Michigan State in that one. But Penn State with their 3rd win this season last night, beating Illinois, which was big for them. I think that, at least for now, solidified their spot in the NCAA tournament. So you're going to see, I think, Penn State in the bracket here for sure when it's announced on Sunday. Northwestern, Joe Lunardi, his latest prediction has them as a 7. And I wouldn't count Northwestern out from winning the whole thing. I mean, when they're playing well, they're playing well. They've had some not-so-great losses here down the stretch, some tough losses down the stretch. But, they won that ugly game against Rutgers on senior night over in Piscataway this past weekend. And I think they're very capable of doing it, too. Chris Collins has done a great job at Northwestern.
Well, the old adage that guard play matters in the postseason. And guard play is what Northwestern has.
Yes.
No question about it. But talking text line again, 366-1600. That's in the 319 area code, 2752. Fran McCaffrey needs to recruit some athletes. I'm not talking about his kids, some athletes like Ohio State has. I'm going to tell Tony Perkins he's not an athlete.
You want
to tell the Murray kids they're not athletes?
I think he's got. I think
I get the point.
Yes. I think they need to play consistent basketball. That's something that came up during Spencer on Sports. I said, if Iowa's on, I think they can. I said the word. I think they can beat anybody. I think a better choice of words is they could compete with anybody when they're playing their best basketball. They can compete with anyone. But a texter pointed out, 3-point shooting has not been consistent. We saw that yesterday against Ohio State. What, they were 4 of 17 or whatever from beyond the 3-point arc. I think they have the athletes. They just need to be consistent.
Well, to the texter's point, I haven't seen this McNeil kid from Ohio State miss a shot in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Is he a quote-unquote athlete? I don't know what that means, quote-unquote athlete. If you're a Division I basketball player, you've got some athletic ability.
You got skills.
Do you know?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean? Quickness? What is it? Speed? Toughness?
I think they need to be consistent. I think that, and at this point of the season, you are who you are, and who they are, the kind of recipe that they've been playing with, the brand they've been playing with, where they play better at home than on the road or a neutral site, leads me to believe there's going to probably be an early exit. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to pick against them in the NCAA tournament. We got to see who they match up against. But, it's consistency is key. And if they're not consistent, you're consistently inconsistent. That's not going to get you many places.
No, that's for sure. Poll question today at KGYMRadio.com has to do with the Iowa Hawkeyes. What seed will the Iowa men land Sunday afternoon? We give you 3 choices, 7 or lower, 8, or 9 or higher. And thanks to Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement Highway 1 West in Iowa City.
I think 7 is out of the question. If they had beaten Ohio State, you'd have a better chance at that. But they didn't. They lost. If they had beaten Nebraska, I think they would have had a better chance at that. But the two straight losses to end the year, I think cancel out the 7 seed. Definitely not going to be higher than a 7. There's no possible way that they get a 6 or higher. That's just
well, Joe Lunardi has been higher on Iowa than Jerry Palm, for example.
Yeah.
And Lunardi now has, as of late last night, has Iowa a number 8 seed mm-hmm. with a down arrow.
Not good. But are you surprised? I don't think anybody's surprised at that, considering back-to-back losses to teams that are below you in the standings.
And again, 8 or 9 doesn't matter.
Right.
They're one and the same.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of votes came in during Spencer on Sports for 10 or lower, or 10 or higher, or 9 or higher, excuse me, the option on that on the poll question, at least on the text line they did it, 319-366-1600. People saying, well, we want to be a 10 because then we can avoid playing the number 1 seed. I can kind of see that logic, but at the same time, your path is only marginally easier as a double-digit seed. You could make a case that I think it's harder, too, as a double-digit seed to number 1 beat a 7, which, again, I think the line between 7-10 and 8-9 is very
negligible.
Yeah. It's very slim. I could see that logic because then if you play the 2 seed, right, you know, maybe the 2 seed's a little bit weaker than, you know, playing a Kansas or an Alabama or whatever, but still there's still plenty of talented 2 seeds out there. So the logic could also backfire when you're playing a team like a Texas or an Arizona or whichever team between Purdue and UCLA gets right. Yeah, exactly. Purdue or UCLA, whichever team like that gets bumped off the 1 line, you know. So are you really, you know, benefiting from being a 10 as opposed to an 8 or a 9? There may be a slight benefit to get you out of the first round, but I think the challenge is still pretty high, regardless of who you're facing in the second round.
Iowa is going to get what it deserves, and that is probably an 8 or a 9.
Yep.
There's not much question in my mind, and, you know, could it have been better? Certainly so, especially with a victory over Nebraska and a first-round win in the tournament. I think that would have solidified Iowa at a 7.
Mm-hmm.
I think I no bracketologist by any mm-hmm. means, but I think much higher likelihood that Iowa would have been a 7.
Yeah, and I think, you know, maybe you see a game like Michigan State, maybe you beat Michigan State for a second time, maybe that pushes you toward the top half of, you know, the top half of the 7 line, so maybe you're on the cusp of a 6 with an outside shot there. But
what if Ohio State wins this tournament? How much does that gum up the works?
You might see them in Dayton. I don't know.
I don't know.
Like, because if what is their current record?
They're up 10.
They're 15-18. So if they win today, they are 16-18. If they win tomorrow, say they shock the world and beat Purdue, they are 17-18. They win the tournament chat title, they're 18-18 as the 13 seed.
Yeah.
You can't seed them lower than an 11, right? Like, you can't put them as like a 14 seed. That's just not fair to, you know, a 3 seed. They're the most dangerous 14 seed ever in that case or whatever.
Right.
But what if Ohio State wins the whole thing? They are up 10 right now on Michigan State, 46-36 at the under 12 media timeout. So if the score holds, you're talking about Ohio State and Purdue in the semifinals. And again, Ohio State needs to win the whole thing, so maybe they are a little bit of motivation there. And
don't you just love the underdog stories?
Yeah.
Well, I do anyway.
Those plucky underdogs, the Ohio State Buckeyes, right? About time something good happens to Ohio State in sports. They haven't had anything good happen in years. Oh, wait. No. But it would be quite the story. I mean, because you don't see, you know, I mean, Iowa did it last year, 4 games in 4 days. You know, you've seen that before. But to have a team who lost, what, 9 in a row look like one of the worst. I mean, like, it was surprising to see them be that bad.
And next to last in the Big Ten.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, their only win there for the long stretch, you know, from January 5th to February 26th, their only win was over Iowa, which, I mean, you know, you talk about inconsistency for Hawkeye basketball, being Ohio State's only win in the Big Ten up to a certain point. But, and then they won. They beat Illinois. They beat Maryland. They lost to Michigan State in East Lansing. And now they've beaten Wisconsin. They've beaten Iowa. And they're up 10 on Ohio, or up 10 on Michigan State with 11 minutes to play in the game. Stranger things have happened, but you don't often see five wins in 5 days, especially playing without one of your key guys in Sensabaugh, happen. But, I have to imagine. So you look at the bubble, okay, and we've covered the bubble on the show and all of our shows a lot this week and over the past couple weeks. The only team left in the Big Ten that is in Dayton is Rutgers. They, or at least this is in Joe Lunardi's prediction, right? The only team left is Rutgers that would be in Dayton, and they're on the cusp of, you know, moving out of there, at least in the last update we had from Lunardi. Do you swap? Like, if Ohio State wins the whole thing, do you swap Ohio State and Rutgers?
Yeah, I think so.
Put Ohio State in Dayton?
Yeah.
Because I don't think you can give Ohio State a solid, like, you can't give them a 10 seed, right? Like an 8-9 for winning the whole conference tournament?
No,
like,
it's supposed to be on a season-long.
Right. And they
resume.
Lost 9 games in a row. So you can't,
yeah.
The committee can't just be like, just ignore the fact that they didn't play good basketball for, you know, almost 2 full months.
Like, I don't know. Rutgers at 11, I think that's a dangerous team.
Yeah.
Right into the tournament.
Yeah.
What you find is that not only with the Big Ten teams, but every other conference, you're not facing someone to which you're very familiar. I mean, you knock heads within the conference all season long, and then you get somebody, a fresh face, so to speak. And it's a different scout. I understand that. But... you know, I was talking to Kevin Lehman last night, and we're going to ask him next Thursday. He asked me, "Do you, in the NCAA tournament, do you take the Big 12 or the field?"
Hmm.
I told him the field's pretty big.
Right.
But I'll let him speak for himself, but I thought it was a really interesting question.
That is a good question, and, you know, I mean, a lot of the Big 12 is going to be a popular pick, right? Because they're the best league, and the ACC's down. All the top four seeds advanced to the ACC tournament, and beyond that, I mean, what does Lunardi have making it from the ACC? He has 5 teams. I mean, usually you see, I mean, North Carolina's not going to be in.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's the number 3 seed in the ACC is Clemson. And Lunardi has them as one of the first 4 out of the field. It shows you how weak the AC. Pittsburgh, who on the last game of the regular season had a chance to be the 1 seed, but if they beat Miami, they're playing in Dayton, according to Lunardi.
Duke's playing the best in that league right now,
they are.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, Miami is too.
Yeah.
Virginia's good, you know. Clemson destroyed NC State last night, but I'm not sold on NC State being one of the best teams in college basketball, so maybe an anomaly there. So,
oh, you got
the, I think you got to go with the Big 12 just because Kansas is really good, Texas is really good. Even a team like K-State can come up and, well, K-State got blown up by TCU last night.
You don't want to play TCU, do you?
No, yeah. They're a really good team.
I mean, Lunardi has Iowa playing West Virginia.
Joe Toussaint revenge game,
yeah.
Maybe?
West Virginia, no easy out.
No, not at all. Not at all. So, I that's a good question. I think, I don't even know who, I got to see the bracket before I make a pick, obviously. But, I mean, you could make an argument for Houston winning the tournament. You could make an argument for Alabama winning the tournament. I'm sure there's a lot of people who don't want to see Alabama winning the tournament, considering what Brandon Miller is alleged to have done. UCLA is good, but the Pac-12 is weak, so how are they going to...
One of their top players is out.
Yeah. Pac-12 only with 4... Pac-12 with 4 teams in now, so that's better than they were, because there was a while there where, you know, there was talk like, oh, well, the Pac-12 is only going to get 2 teams into the field. you know, but now respectable four. You know, Arizona's really good. You know, they got out of the Sweet 16. I mean, is there going to be another surprise team that, like a St. Peter's, that comes out of nowhere?
Yeah.
That, you know, we're like, we're all going to be sitting here. We talk about the KGYM bracket challenge. We're all going to be sitting here in a couple weeks talking about how do we not see Colgate come out of nowhere and win, you know, four games as a 15 seed or whatever.
But like Kevin said, this Oral Roberts team has what, like a 7-5 center or something like that?
Yeah. Max Asemus is really good too, yeah. So, yeah, I think it's wide open. And I was, who was it, Matt Norlander from CBS Sports? He did an interview I saw on Twitter the other day, and he thinks, in his opinion, this is going to be that flip-a-coin bracket spectacular I talked about earlier in the week. In Matt Norlander's opinion, there could be some semblance where that could be correct. Like, the matchups are just going to be totally off the rails.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that sure to happen? No, it's just one writer's opinion. But he says there's so much parity, there's so many good players all across the sport that you could have, you know, Utah Valley go on a run and get to the Sweet 16, you know, just knock off some, like, wait, where did this team come from? Well, they're talented, but nobody sees them because they're in the whack. Mm-hmm. You know, it could certainly happen. 319-366-1600, talking a little Big Ten basketball. Ohio State's still up 46-39, about 9 minutes and change left in that one. As for the poll question, your thoughts welcome at 319-366-1600. What seed will the Iowa men land Sunday afternoon? I'm going to say, I think there'll be an 8. I'm going to say 8, but I would not be surprised if it was a 9. And honestly, the line is so, you know, is so blurred between those two that is it going to matter in the end? You know, you got a decent shot to win your opening round game, but you're going to run into Alabama or Kansas or UCLA or somebody in that regional. So I think it's going to be, you know, all signs pointing to a one and done or maybe a two and out for Iowa.
87-8077 on the text line. Just think if Iowa had gotten Filipowski, we were in his top few schools. Fran can recruit. Easier said than done in the recruiting game.
Kyle Filipowski from Duke, yeah. I mean, he's a fantastic player, that's for sure. And, you know, and who knows how, you know, I know there's reports out there about Iowa being already in contact with players out of the portal. I forget the name, but someone from Wofford, a big man from Wofford. So, you know, and I'm sure, you know, I think Iowa, when you look at all things considered, when you compare, you know, last year as a program to this year as a program, especially when you look at the NIL factor, I think they're in a better spot with that. I think not having the Swarm Collective and the things that they, just speaking, you know, for the Hawkeyes here, last year they were behind and didn't have the Swarm Collective set up. And I think now that they have something like that ready to go, that helped them with football. We saw that with Cade McNamara coming in. It wasn't the only thing, obviously, that brought him here, but I think they have that side of things worked out. I think there may be a little bit more success on the recruiting front, especially in trying to, you know, add in kind of some different factors for people considering Iowa as a destination out of the transfer portal. I think that might work in their favor this year. Who knows? We'll see. But I think they're maybe in a better spot.
Well, yeah, I think you're right about that. I think opportunity is there as well with Rebraca graduating.
Yep.
And Frank can go to just about anybody he wants and say, hey, you got a chance to step right in and make an impact with this program.
Yep.
Whereas you might be just another pretty face should you choose somewhere
Kentucky.
Else. Yeah.
Yeah, wherever, you know. Yeah,
yeah.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's absolutely correct. 319-366-1600 as we roll on here on a Friday afternoon. It's almost bottom of the hour. We've been talking for so long, Mark, here on the show. We do want to talk about big game tonight in the Big 12. A game we'll have for you tonight here on KGYM, one of two semifinals in the Big 12. Kansas and Iowa State. We'll get to that after the break here as we approach 3:30 on this Friday afternoon. But first, we want to give folks that Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update. What you got today?
Quite a bit. I had to pick and choose, but here it is. At the Players' Championship, number one ranked golfer in the world, John Rahm, has withdrawn due to a stomach virus. In the NFL, the Minnesota Vikings have released Adam Thielen.
Yeah.
A great story.
Uh-huh.
Division II player who, undrafted, spent 9 years with the Vikings. Now 33.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what his market is. Boys State basketball tournament. Yes, Northland fell to Grandview Christian 63-46 in the 1A state championship game. It's been a great run for Northland the last half dozen years, so no shame in that. 5 o'clock, Cedar Rapids Xavier goes for the 3A state championship against number one ranked Bondurant Farrar. And Spencer, I know you're paying attention to this. The World Baseball Classic is underway.
It is. I've not had a chance to watch much of it, but I...
Well, it's on late at night.
Yeah.
And into the early hours.
Yeah.
But the U.S. begins play tomorrow night against Great Britain.
Okay.
There are pools, 5 in a pool. Mm-hmm. You have to finish in the top 2 to move on. U.S. won the last go-round in this, I think.
Okay.
Right?
I believe
it's been
so.
A couple of years.
Yeah, it has. It's been a while. They were supposed to do it in 2020, I think, weren't they? And things, of course, got shut down because of the pandemic. But it's kind of interesting when you look at the World Baseball Classic to see MLB guys playing for teams that they're like that represent their family heritage. So you have guys who think, oh, okay, yeah, sure, they're going to play for the Team U.S., right? No, they're playing for Team Italy because their ancestors, their family's Italian.
Lars Nootbaar in a Japanese uniform.
He's got Japanese heritage, it's weird. Sal Frelick, one of the Brewers' top prospects, is playing for Team Italy because he's Italian. So, pretty cool. That Vinny Pasquantino for the Royals, I think, is on Team Italy as well. So Vinny's got a cool, I think it's like a YouTube vlog or YouTube series or Twitter. I don't know what it is. I saw a little bit of one of the episodes, but him going around showing what they're doing and how they're preparing and holding up and stuff. It's pretty cool. So look for that. I'll have to DVR that U.S. game. Probably be focused on basketball here. I'll catch the highlights probably just since there's so much basketball going on. Speaking of basketball, Ohio State's still up. 54-41, under 7 to play. So unless the Spartans do what Iowa did to them at Carver-Hawkeye Arena here, I think we are headed towards Ohio State winning again and getting to the semifinal against Purdue here. 6:55 left, the Buckeyes with a 54-41 lead. We'll keep you up to date on that. We'll talk a little bit about Iowa State-Kansas tonight, a game you can hear on KGYM, and look at maybe some college baseball and more on the other side of this timeout. Gym Class brought to you by DePaco Community Credit Union right here on the gym.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we'll have clouds building back in this afternoon with temperatures in the low to mid 30s. We are going to have cloudy skies tonight with temperatures dropping down into the 20s. Tomorrow we'll start off cloudy and cool with temperatures in the low 30s. And in the afternoon, mainly after 2 p.m., we'll have the chance for a wintry mix and some slushy snow. Snow will fall through the afternoon and evening, winding down early Sunday morning. Accumulation of 1 to 4 inches is expected. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Just about the time Willa Dickens began as a watchmaker at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, a romantic notion was blooming in 1940s America. The idea that a diamond, like love itself, is precious and lasting. More than ever before, proposals began including twinkling rings in velvet-lined Hertin and Stocker boxes. Decades of engagements and countless shimmering rings later, happy, nervous hands are still accepting these promises of always from Hertin and Stocker. The designs are always modern and fresh, but the service is still as exceptional as it was in those very early days. Perhaps that rare blend of present and past is the reason Hertin and Stocker has been voted best jewelry store in Iowa City 12 years running. Stop and see what's sparkling in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Get 11% off your appliance upgrade now at Menards. We offer the lowest prices with the largest in-stock appliance selection, ready to take home today. New appliances from Menards are meant to make your life easier. Upgrade your home with top appliance brands including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade your home with new energy-efficient appliances and save 11%. Good through March 12th. Savings are a mail-in rebate. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
You could win $500 in the I'm On Communications KGYM Bracket Challenge. Get details now at KGYMradio.com. I'm On Communications, your local choice for internet, TV, and phone.
Take your favorite sports talk programming with you anywhere on the go with a free KGYM Sports Radio app. Local sports talk in the afternoon and ESPN all day, right in your pocket. Hang out with your friends from the gym by searching KGYM Sports Radio in the App Store today.
Back in the gym class at 3:35, Spencer and Mark with you here on a Friday afternoon, taking up till 4 o'clock, Todd Rommelkamp show on the way between 4 and 6. Iowa State men's basketball on the way starting at 6 tonight. We'll join it right around tip-off time. John Walters and Eric Heft have the call as the Cyclones take on Kansas. Third meeting of the season between the Cyclones and Jayhawks, this one coming in the Big 12 semifinals tonight. The winner will move on to the championship game, which is set for tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock from Kansas City. Should be a great battle tonight. I'm looking forward to it. That's one of the games of the night. I will also look interested in seeing that Creighton-Xavier game in the Big East tournament. That should be a fantastic one. Xavier got all they could handle from DePaul last night, which DePaul, like 10-win team coming out of nowhere and taking Xavier to the wire. And then, of course, you got Maryland, Indiana, Northwestern, Penn State. You got Duke and Miami tonight, Virginia and Clemson. Clemson's got stuff to play for, still on the outside looking in, so should be a great night of hoops. Already is this afternoon. Michigan State's cut the lead down to 10 now in the second half. But Ohio State, as someone pointed out, Ohio State is on the verge of winning their third Big Ten tournament game, their third game in the Big Ten tournament before both Northwestern and Indiana each play their first. That's just how the tournament works, obviously. It's not all that, you know, huge of an observation. But it's.
Maybe there's value in not getting that double bye or not getting the double bye.
Get
on a roll, win a couple games, now maybe on the verge of a third straight victory. Again, you got to wonder when the gas tank runs dry. Maybe it won't. I mean, maybe adrenaline takes this team to the whole thing.
And maybe that means they flop early in the first round of the NCAA tournament.
Right.
We saw that happen. You know, I mean, a lot of factors played into Iowa losing that game, but last year against Richmond. But they won four games in 4 days and then, you know, bounced in day one of the NCAA tournament. Ohio State lost 14 of 15 games from January 5th to February 23rd. That one win again was over Iowa, so critics can use that however they wish, but 14 of 15 games, and they are, 454 away from pulling this one out. Well, Sparty's within six now.
Yeah, long ways to go.
See, but, yeah. Iowa State, Kansas tonight. Two games that were really kind of polar opposites of each other. Close one in Lawrence, and then in Ames, Iowa State, blew the doors off Kansas, really led from start to finish, dominated that game in February in Ames. I'm looking forward to seeing the atmosphere in Kansas City tonight, because University of Kansas is so close to Kansas City, obviously, and then you got Hilton South with all the Cyclone fans that make their way down I-35. You know, I mean, good luck matching this Texas and TCU, because I think it's going to be electric there for a semifinal game. But, if Iowa State, you know, they've had two impressive wins over Baylor. They've really responded well in these last two contests. If they can find a way to beat Kansas for the second time this year, counting the game in Ames, obviously, and this one here tonight, I think, you know, Iowa State pretty comfortably right now on a 5, but maybe you bump them up a little bit. Maybe they score a little bit more points in the committee's eyes if they can beat Kansas twice in a year.
It certainly looked good. Kansas about a 4.5 point favorite tonight to beat the Cyclones, but Iowa State really could have won that game in Lawrence.
Yeah.
It was tied until like 10, 12 seconds left when Kansas went ahead and Caleb Grill missed a 3-point shot that would have won it. Of course, Grill not on the team anymore, but quite a different story in Ames when Iowa State won by 15. So, you know, this is, I think Iowa State will play with some confidence after beating Baylor. Interestingly, Kansas started former Drake player Joseph Yesufu last night at the guard position.
Yeah.
I think he scored 7 points or so, but he's didn't contribute much last year, but apparently doing so this year. So there's an angle on the Kansas side. Bill Self will not be with the team
right
as yet. Still hospitalized with a medical issue, but Kansas looked pretty good last night.
They did. West Virginia, I think West Virginia solidly in the tournament. Of course, Joe Lenardi has them playing Iowa in the first round. Would be interested to see that matchup, obviously. But you know, West Virginia, they played tough, but Kansas was just too much. And I think you talk about Iowa State. You know, they had their struggles down the stretch. Those two wins over Baylor, so a little bit a boost of confidence. But for Kansas, aside from that loss, the last game of the regular season, losing at Texas, they've played really well. Since that loss in Ames, they beat Texas, they beat Baylor, they beat TCU, they beat West Virginia, you know, twice in that span, obviously. I think Kansas is playing some good basketball. I think they're rounding into form, so Iowa State's definitely got to have their A game. I think Gabe Kalischer's got to be hitting shots. I think you got to see another performance from what from Taman Lipsy, like you saw yesterday. And I think rebounding is definitely going to be key. I mean, they crushed Baylor on the glass yesterday, and rebounding in general yesterday. And I think getting second-chance opportunities is going to be huge, preventing Kansas from going on a run and you know, breaking things open is going to be big for Iowa State. And like you said, playing with a little confidence. You got a nice boost of energy with two wins over a really good Baylor team, and now Can you get it done against Kansas and get to the title game? I think that's huge.
Yeah, Jalen Holmes played well in one of those games as well, if not both. And Kalischer is the key in my mind, and I think Kansas knows that. Interesting stat, watching that Iowa State opening round game. The announcer said Kalischer has played in his career at Minnesota and at Iowa State like 55 or 56 ranked opponents.
That's insane.
That's a lot that of ranked
is,
opponents.
Yeah. Wow.
So Kalischer's not going to be scared.
No, not at all.
Lipsy is key as well. He's played so well down the stretch, especially for a freshman, and need more of that.
Iowa State this year, they lead the country in wins over AP Top 25 and AP Top 10 teams. They have 9 wins over AP top 25 teams and 6 over top 10 teams this year.
Impressive.
That's incredible. That's a big chunk of what Gabe Kalischer had.
But like Iowa, they've fallen in
right.
some of those games, like Oklahoma and,
right. yeah.
and whatnot. So,
but Kalischer last game was huge, 6 of 11 from 3.
Yeah.
That's good. And then Taman Lipsy, we talked about his stat line yesterday, 13 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. You know, distributing the ball, getting it to Kalischer for open looks. They dominated the paint yesterday against Baylor and won that big. So if you can do that against a really good Kansas team, I think you've got a good shot to win. Kansas is going to have some motivation too, because they want, you know, they're the number one team. They're the number one seed in the Big 12. They want to prove that, hey, you know, we're the regular season champs. We want the double. We want the double double dip here. And they're playing, you know, you look at the bracketology, it's between them and Alabama in most people's minds for the number one overall seed. And, you know, that's a piece of pride, I think, for, you know, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, you want to you know, win the title. You want to hoist the trophy, right, cut down the nets, whatever. But I think that's a point of pride too, is, hey, we're the best of this, of all the number one seeds. We're the best team. We're the number one team in the bracket. And I think that's something Kansas might be playing for too.
Yeah, and the Iowa State side of things, it's not going to hurt one bit if Iowa State loses this game.
No.
In terms of bracketology, no. I don't think. You're losing to a number one team, but a win, you know, it depends on what other teams do. The 16 teams or so ahead of Iowa State,
right,
in bracketology right now could move up to four. I don't know.
Right.
But I would think solidly a five, don't you?
Yeah, a five in most places. We talked about the bracket matrix on Spencer on Sports, and they take – I think they have 93 brackets that they look at, maybe even more than that. And they look at, they take all the average seeds and kind of bring them all together and try to figure out where you are. For Iowa State, they are the second number five seed. So that's based on, you know, this kind of aggregation of all the projections out there, people who do all the math and crunch all the numbers. Iowa State's average is 5.08. Mm. The only team ahead of them is Miami, who's a 4.98. So Miami's kind of on that line between a 5 and a 4. But you beat Kansas, I think you jump Miami. It depends on what Miami does, because they're playing Duke tonight in the ACC semifinals.
I think I read 90-95% of every team's resume and information the committee has.
Yeah.
So I guess unless you win a conference tournament like Ohio State may do, it right now is up 9 with less than 3 minutes left against Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament. Pretty much all the hay is in the barn.
Yeah.
For most of these teams.
Well, we've seen that too, especially with these tournaments that end on Selection Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how many times have we seen a Big Ten team go on a run, like maybe an Ohio State will? Who knows what's going to happen if they hold on here today and win the whole thing? But how many times have we seen the tournaments, especially that end on Sunday, those seeds are a little bit, maybe those teams are disrespected maybe a little bit by the committee. They go on a run, but, you know, your championship game ended at, you know,
3 o'clock.
3 o'clock. Yeah. The bracket's revealed at 5 Central Time, and while the committee's already got the bracket together, maybe they bump you up a seed line, you know, if you really made an impressive run, but at that point, your seed is what your seed is. You know, like the committee, they're not going to completely redo the bracket just for one team. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's part of it too. And we could, you know, get into that argument too. We don't have enough time in the show, but should Selection Sunday even have championship games on it? That's, you know, I mean, like if you really truly want your seed to matter, you want your conference tournament to matter, shouldn't you have your tournament end on Saturday and have the committee be able to discuss your work with a fresh, you know, kind of a fresh slate in front of you? There's that argument out there that Selection Sunday should be completely devoid of any games, and then we just reveal the bracket in the evening like we do. But I think Iowa State certainly will help themselves with a win, but probably won't hurt themselves all that much with a loss.
I don't think so. Selection Sunday coming up, but we'll have it right here on KGYM at 5 o'clock.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you can listen to that selection process there. And then later on, I think around 7, the NCAA women's bracket is revealed. And we'll see, is Iowa going to be a 1 or a 2? There's a lot of debate about that. Jeff Linder had a piece in the Gazette about 6-8 teams maybe vying for those, maybe the last one or two number one seeds. So we'll listen and hear what happens in the women's bracket as well.
Charlie Cream from ESPN. I've been talking about Lenardi so much the last 2 days, I neglected Charlie Cream there, but still has Iowa as a 2. So that means you're hosting, which, I mean, there's no doubt that they're going to be hosting. It's just, do they move up to a 1 line? I think the draw would actually be pretty favorable for Iowa if they were the 2 where they have them now, because they're in Stanford's regional. And you're avoiding South Carolina. You know, you're avoiding Indiana again. I don't think they were going to put him in Indiana's regional to begin with, but that's, I think, a pretty favorable draw. Now, we thought maybe it was a pretty favorable draw last year, and we were all pining for maybe Iowa State in the Sweet 16, and look what happened. Creighton got in the way, but Iowa is still projected as a number two seed in Charlie Cream's latest bracketology. I think Lisa Bluter was quoted as saying, I think obviously she thinks her team deserves a one seed, but she's realistic about it. Yeah, we're probably going to get a two. I think that was the quote.
Well, it's like an 8-9, 1-2, you know. I don't know that there's a heck of a lot of difference. There is some, I understand that, but a two seed is pretty darn good, especially in the women's format when that allows you to host two games.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you referenced last year.
Right.
And that didn't work out great, but I think Iowa women will learn from that.
I think they
performed pretty well in the first couple rounds.
I don't think they've forgotten that loss to Creighton.
No.
I think they're using that as motivation, especially this year, because they know exactly how quickly things can come to an end. A season with such promise can be ruined in one
right.
sunny afternoon. It's very true. 3:50 here at the Gym Classic KGYM on a Friday afternoon. We'll take a quick 60-second timeout, tie up a few loose ends, and send you off into your weekend. That's next here on KGYM. Again, the show brought to you by Tupaco Community Credit Union.
Long will put it on the deck with 3 seconds, with two, three at the top of the key. It is no good. It falls just short. And Kansas, for the fourth time in school history, men's basketball national champions. The final score, Kansas 72, North Carolina 69.
Hear Westwood One's exclusive coverage of this year's NCAA tournament right here.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool. Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One NA, member FDIC.
Back at the Gym Class at 3:51, 319-366-1600. A lot of thoughts coming in about the Iowa seed question from earlier. That's our poll question at KGYMradio.com. What seed will the Iowa men land on Sunday afternoon? 7 or lower, 8 or 9 or higher. Those are your options. We've been taking your responses all afternoon here on local programming on KGYM. And getting into the final stretch here, 12-point advantage, Ohio State is going to do it. They're going to beat Michigan State. 15 seconds left, Ohio State basically is dribbling it out. Probably going to take a shot clock violation here. But in the end, Ohio State, the 13 seed, will play in the semifinals versus number one seed Purdue.
Give me my crimson palms.
It's incredible. And doing without Sensabaugh, too. Incredible performance here for Ohio State. So they are two wins away from an unlikely NCAA tournament bid. Again, like we said, they lost 14 of 15 at one point this year. And they are almost that's March, right? We had that scenario the other day where we had a couple teams. They didn't end up winning. But we had a couple championship games with two teams with 22 losses in it. That's what we're at. We could have 18-18 Ohio State.
If don't count them out. Winning.
Yeah, don't count them out. They're a talented team. Dangerous whatever seed they get if they get in. Got to get past Purdue, though, first. And the lowest seeded team to advance to the semifinals in Big Ten tournament history. That's incredible stuff. So kind of credit for Chris Holtmann. I think if he was on the hot seat, coming into this tournament, I think he's off firmly now. Considering
it's cooled down
quite a bit, but that's going on. Two more games in the Big Ten tournament. We'll of course have bracket. You and Scott will have bracket talk on Monday. I'll have bracket talk on Spencer at Sports at 2, and Todd will as well. Between 4 and 6, we'll have everything you need to know coming up on Monday. Don't want to forget Iowa baseball this weekend. Rather important series at Texas Tech. Things getting started tonight at 6:30, and they've. The Hawkeyes have had an impressive Impressive run to start. 10-1 to start the year. That win over number one LSU is huge. Best start since 1942. Still, you know, plenty of season to go, but they're on the right track here. And this is a pretty good scenario here for Iowa to get some more key wins under their belt here, and really stockpile those wins early on to put them on the right side of the tournament question coming up later this year.
Yeah, Texas Tech is 12-2, but 8 of those wins have come against Gonzaga, which has won one game this year, and Western Illinois. They had 4 game series there. They have played Rice. They have played Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really good league, no question about it.
Yeah.
So Iowa going with its typical Friday starter, Ty Langenberg.
Mm-hmm.
And then Brody Brecht, I think, scheduled to be on the hill tomorrow for game 2. And then Marcus Morgan in game 3. So I'm anxious to see what happens here. Really good matchup.
Absolutely. And like I said, a chance to stockpile some wins here as we get closer and closer to the start of Big Ten play. Of course, Big Ten, you know, you never know how things are going to go. I know Iowa does get a series with Maryland, who's one of the better teams in the league this year. So we'll see. But, you know, Have to see if Iowa can get those wins early and bolster that resume here early. Let's take one call before we get out of here. Troy in Muscatine talking about, is that high school basketball? I think that's what that says. He wants to comment on some high school basketball news here. Troy, what's up?
I just had a question. I know the girls and boys unions don't agree on the size bracket, but do you think there ever might be a need for a separate parochial school bracket? Basketball.
That's an age-old question, Troy, and it goes back to my days at the Gazette, which was a few years ago now, and I don't know that that'll ever happen, but in, you know, Grandview Christian wins the 1A title, Xavier could win the 3A title. Parochial schools seem to have a lot of success in not only basketball but other sports, but that I don't know. I think it's a great question. I don't think the associations will ever visit it. I could be wrong.
That battle going on, I will say, in Wisconsin, too. A lot of people believe, you know, there's discussion about multipliers for enrollment to make it, you know, so there's not a private school in Division 6 up in, or Division 7 up in Wisconsin. And we could do a whole, you and Scott, I'm sure, we could do a whole show on that discussion if you guys wanted to going forward. But it's not a unique problem here in Iowa. It's happening across the country, I think it's fair to say. So, that's thanks for the call, Troy. Appreciate it. Wish we could have had a little bit more time to discuss that, but we are out of time. My run as a guest host has come to an end.
Don't count on it.
Not permanently. I might be asked to do this full time. I don't know what's going on. The boss is right outside the window. He might hear me say that and say, no, you're in there permanently. Who knows? But Scott will be back on Monday. That is for sure. Appreciate
short week next week, too.
Yes. We got basketball Thursday and Friday. So short week. We'll kick it off Monday. But stay tuned. Plenty more talk coming your way. Todd Brommelkamp Show on the way in just moments. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.